In this sermon, I want to show you from Jeremiah chapter 5 and 9 how safeguarding is something which is God's heart. It's something that he cares about deeply, and therefore, so should we. So we've been going through Jeremiah in our sermon series, so I thought that we would stay in Jeremiah for Safeguarding Sunday. And what we're going to do is we're going to think about how, when it comes to safeguarding, what we must do is we must observe, we must exercise, and we must also act. So those are the principles that we're going to look at from Jeremiah 5 and 9 this morning. So let's start off with, when it comes to safeguarding, we must observe. That is to say, we must see and we must hear. In Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 21, the people are rebuked by God through Jeremiah for failing to see and hear. "Hear this, you foolish and senseless people, who have eyes but do not see, who have ears but do not hear. So their eyes and their ears are functioning fine, but they're not seeing and hearing and observing what's going on around them. And we're told in verse 26 that the thing that was happening around them was that wicked people, God's own people, tragically, were trying to trap the vulnerable, but they didn't notice. They didn't see or hear what was going on. They were failing to see that the most vulnerable in society were being neglected and therefore were falling prey to the wicked. Safeguarding is about seeing and hearing. It's about looking and listening. It's about being observant, lifting up our heads, being aware of what's going on around us in church, at work, in the home, and so on. For us in Argyle, safeguarding in a church context is about listening to safeguarding seminars and safeguarding training that we put on from time to time. It's about listening attentively to Nicola and the safeguarding team, Malcolm and Yvette, and taking on board what they're saying to us. It's about listening carefully on Safeguarding Sunday. We've watched a video, we've seen Nicola's really good illustration. It's about listening carefully and taking it in. It's also about listening to victims and survivors of abuse and mistreatment and hearing their story and taking it in. And it's about listening in general so that we pick up when something is going on that doesn't feel quite right. So we've heard it, and we can report it to Nicola. Safeguarding is also about looking, being observant about what's going on in church, checking things are safe and okay. It's about looking out for the vulnerable to make sure they're protected against harm and mistreatment. And it's about looking for ways in which we can pursue justice and well-being for all. So that's the first principle of safeguarding from Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 21. We're to be observant. We're to see and hear. We're to look and listen what's going on around us, the safeguarding training and messages that are coming to us. The second principle is exercise kindness and justice. And we see this from Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. This is what the Lord says: "Let not the wise boast of their wisdom, or the strong boast of their strength, or the rich boast of their riches. But let the one who boasts boast about this, that they have the understanding to know me, that I am the Lord, who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For in these I delight, declares the Lord. So we see our focus as God's people is to gain understanding, to know God. And what's God like? He's like this. He exercises kindness and justice and righteousness on earth. That's his purpose and priority, to be kind and have justice towards the most vulnerable. And it's not just that he thinks he should do this. Notice he delights in doing this. It's his delight and joy to care for the weak and the needy and so on. The Bible contains a lot about God's heart, God's care, God's concern for the most vulnerable in society. And that should motivate us to take our safeguarding responsibilities seriously, to make sure that we don't forget children and vulnerable adults in our church, in our home, in our workplace, and so on. To make sure that we don't neglect to speak up on their behalf, because often, because they're vulnerable, they don't know how, they don't feel empowered, they don't have a voice to say what's going on. So it's our responsibility to make sure we're their voice. Psalm 68 says this: sing to God, sing in praise of his name. Extol him who rides on the clouds. Rejoice before him. His name is the Lord. So it's magnifying the Lord, that verse. It's saying how great God is. But then the next verse says this: a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy dwelling. So what that's telling us is, yes, God is very, very important. God is the greatest. But he's not so important or so great that he doesn't care for the most vulnerable. And isn't that a fantastic juxtaposition? The most great ever, deeply concerned for the least of humans. It's wonderful, isn't it, that he does care despite his greatness. And we are not so important that we don't care for the vulnerable. We should. We must. We will. If our God does, how much more then should we? God uses his power and ability to safeguard those most in need of help and protection. So should we. If we find ourselves in positions of power or authority or influence, God also exercises kindness and justice towards the needy, towards the weak, towards the defenseless, and the least, and the last, and the lowly. Therefore, as his people, so should we. Thirdly, and lastly, the final principle that we see in Jeremiah is that we should act to promote and defend the vulnerable. And we see this in Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 28. Their evil deeds have no limit. They do not seek justice. They do not promote the case of the fatherless. They do not defend the just cause of the poor. So God's people are being berated because they're not doing what they should do. This is a cause of massive concern. This is why God called Jeremiah to call out what they're not doing. He's saying, you're not doing this. This is how you should live, but you're not. And it's this theme of taking action to promote and defend the vulnerable that we see repeated throughout the Bible. A few examples. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 18. God defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow, and loves the foreigner residing among you, giving them food and clothing. Proverbs 15:25, the Lord tears down the house of the proud, but he sets the widow's boundary stones in place. Widows are mentioned a lot in the Bible because back then they were very vulnerable. They didn't have a husband to protect them, so they were often prey to people who would want to harm them. Proverbs chapter 22, verses 22 and 23. Do not exploit the poor because they are poor, and do not crush the needy in court, for the Lord will take up their case and will exact life for life. So we see in those verses God's heart, but not just his feelings, the action he takes on behalf of the vulnerable. Those who are destitute, those who are powerless. It's clear from the Bible, isn't it? They must not be forgotten or ignored. Their cause is our cause. That's what God's saying. Throughout the Bible, we see God being attentive to the cries of those exploited or in danger. He heard the blood of Abel that cried out from the earth. He heard the cries of his people when they were in captivity and in exile. He heard our cry, didn't he, when we cried out to be saved, when we realized that we couldn't save ourselves, that we were a slave to our own desires, slave to Satan, slave to sin, and we cried out to him, he rescued us. And he continues to be attentive to our cries when we find ourselves in trouble and we cry out to him for help. So we should be attentive the same way, by taking action on behalf of the weak and the poor, of the vulnerable in our church or wherever we come across them. We need to make sure that we treat all with equal dignity and protection. Old and young, male and female, black and white, rich and poor, family and enemy, whoever they are, we say, I'm going to protect them if I'm able. That's because we're all made in the image of God. Every human being is. And it's also because the gospel is open to all, so therefore we care for all. All children, all widows, all homeless people, all those in poverty, all those without status in our country, all those with disabilities, all those victims to discrimination, all those who are neurodiverse, all those who cannot speak for themselves or feed for themselves or look after themselves, whatever the reasons or situations for their vulnerabilities, they must be safeguarded and the basis for their vulnerability understood. That's the action that we must take as God's people. This is our responsibility. To be a force for good. To be that those things that we saw under that covering of protection on the stage there, those elements that Nicola mentioned, to be those threads and that string that crisscrossed its way through the middle of the church. To be God's light, to be people who ensure that vulnerable people, vulnerable adults and children, are safe, heard, protected, and noticed. May God help us all. Amen. As we now come to communion, I realise, I'm conscious, that safeguarding Sunday may be quite hard for you because perhaps you've suffered harm or abuse. Or perhaps there have been times in your life when you've been vulnerable and people have taken advantage of you. As we come to the table, I invite you to give all your pain and hurt and anger and fear and bad memories and nightmares, to give them all to Jesus, to hand them to him, to allow his love to enfold you and to heal you. Because, you know, this table reminds us that finally here is a man we can completely trust. A man who, although he was very, very powerful, didn't mistreat vulnerable women or children, didn't use or abuse or manipulate defenseless people. In fact, this table tells us that here is a man who did the opposite to that. He voluntarily allowed himself to become vulnerable. He suffered extreme and violent harm so that we could be healed, so that we could be saved from the consequences of our sins. Isaiah 53 says, He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain, like one from whom people hide their faces. He was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, as we come to the table, we thank you that you are God become man, whom we can completely trust, a safe man, the safe God man, the one who welcomes us, whoever we are, the one who heals us from our past traumas, the one who saves us from the consequences of our sins by, as we've just read, taking on yourself on the cross the punishment we should have had that was ours. As we come to the table and we eat the bread that reminds us of your body, and we drink from the cup that reminds us of your blood, we thank you that you're willing to do this for us. We praise you and we worship you because you were willing to become vulnerable to save us. We were weak. We couldn't save ourselves. But you came as our Saviour in our place so that we could know eternal security, forgiveness of sins, your love in our lives. We thank you and we ask and plead your blessing, your special blessing and presence now as we take communion together. Amen.